You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Adam Bishop.
And I'm Chris Ellis.
So, how long has it been?
It's been a while.
3 months.
It's been a while. It has not been 3 months.
No.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like it's been that long.
It does.
I mean, I don't think it's been that long, but it's been a while since I've sat behind the microphone and said hello to everybody.
And it's been about that long since I've read a comic.
Ouch. That bad, huh?
That bad. The only thing that I have really read is my like semi-biannual, bi-monthly original Captain Canuck comic read-through.
Oh, okay.
So like every once in a while, I get the urge to reread through all the original Captain Canuck issues. And usually what I'll do is before bed, I pull up the old tablet where I've got them all and I just read an issue and then I'll go to sleep. And it kind of like helps me transition from busy day to sleep by reading comics.
I've still
never read a Captain Canuck comic.
They're pretty good.
I mean,
coming from the guy wearing a Captain Canuck shirt tonight, I think you should read a Canuck comic.
Where would you recommend someone starts with Captain Canuck?
I don't know. I probably just with the originals. Just read them all. There's literally like 30 issues total.
Yeah, it won't take very long.
That's like nothing.
So
that's,
you're not
easy.
Yeah, that's super easy.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, reading X-Men, you know, all of them from like number one. I mean, between them and all the side issues, I mean, you're talking thousands of comics. Canuck's a little easier to read than that.
Yeah. I'm up to date on House of X and Powers of 10.
Okay.
I'm up to date. So I have read all that.
Nice.
Are you up to date as well?
I am not reading that series at all.
No?
I think I'm probably the only one out of the group.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you're not in that group.
I don't
either.
Really read current comics.
No. I like it.
It's fine. It's fine. You're allowed to like what you're allowed to like.
Without going into spoilers, for people who have read it, they probably notice, if like I did, that there's lots of movie plots, like from different movies and TV shows that I'm seeing in it easily. Like, I'm not saying there's plagiarism, but so I'm like, oh, I remember when this movie did this, when this movie did this, when this TV show did this.
Okay. Like, as in the X TV shows and movies, that kind of stuff related, or just we stole this from The Simpsons?
Like, I'm sitting there watching this. I'm like, oh, I like the butterfly effect as well. Or what's another one? I'm blanking now. Stargate.
Do they have a Stargate?
Yes.
Wow.
There's Stargates in it.
Cool.
What else? Oh, there's so many.
I mean, I like Stargate, but I didn't watch the TV show, just the movie. The first one?
I guess you call it...
You didn't watch Stargate then.
I watched the movie.
I watched the movie, but not the TV show.
There's 17 seasons of TVs, and compared to one movie, so you haven't watched Stargate, my friend. You haven't watched Stargate.
I feel like the main characters for the TV shows are so much lamer than the movie.
Richard Dean Anderson, I'll fight you.
Who is that?
I will fight you. MacGyver.
MacGyver.
Now, whose character does he play?
He's the main guy, Jack O'Neill.
And that was played by...
Kurt Russell in the movie.
Oh, wasn't James Spader in it?
James Spader was in the movie, that's correct. Yeah. He played Daniel Jackson, Dr. Daniel Jackson.
And who plays him?
Somebody who's not famous, so I don't know his name. Yeah, but he does a great job.
I'd rather have Kurt Russell and James Spader.
No.
Yes.
No, oh man, like the show is so much better than the movie, because it takes the concept of the movie, and then, but it gives
expands
you
it.
Four characters that are great, like Jack O'Neill. The thing is that they had to drastically change Jack O'Neill's character, because in the movie he literally wants to commit suicide.
Which one's
because
that?
The Kurt Russell.
Okay.
Right? He literally wants to commit suicide. He goes on a suicide mission because his son just died. And he has no hope or future.
I don't remember this.
And so that's why he goes through the Stargate. Like it's a suicide mission.
Yeah.
And so they have to take, like, you can't. This was 90s TV, not 2020s TV. So they they can't have a character that is that dark right off the bat. You know, this isn't Breaking Bad. So they kind of have an episode where he has to deal with the loss of his child and stuff, and it's all emotional. And then, like, after that, the show becomes like this, it's just funny, and like they're always doing humorous things, and Jack has a great sense of humor. And Richard Dean Anderson is a great actor. I love him. I could still quote you lines from that show that you would have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's just inside jokes.
That's from Stargate?
Yeah.
And Richard Dean Anderson was MacGyver?
He was MacGyver, that's right.
See, I didn't watch that show, so...
MacGyver?
He means nothing to me.
MacGyver is a show that didn't age well, just because it's kind of corny. But, like, I remember there was a bad guy in MacGyver that terrified me as a child, and I was literally afraid to go into dark rooms because I thought this, like there was an episode where, like, his skin got all, like, torn off or something, and like, that gave me nightmares for weeks. So, thanks for bringing that up.
Stargate.
So, Dan's not sleeping tonight?
But yes, Stargate. Check out Stargate for 10 seasons, Stargate Atlantis for 5 seasons, Stargate Universe for 2 seasons. Oh. It's good. Stargate's one of those shows. I haven't watched it for years. I need to rebuy it. And, like, I'm just, but the problem is that, like, it used to be at HMV before HMV went under, Stargate was like $10 a season every year at Christmas.
Oh, okay.
But now, you know, HMV's gone under.
Yeah.
I don't think it even gets distributed that often through, like, other stores. Maybe I'll find it at Walmart sometime.
Can I assume that every single season was filmed in Vancouver?
You can. And you know what? I love...
Lots of forests?
I love it. I love watching Canadian shows and being like, oh, I recognize that guy from the other show I was watching. Or, you know, or like, you know, like you see like some seasons of things you wouldn't expect are filmed in Vancouver, and you can tell just by the supporting cast.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, hey, that guy's been in every Canadian TV show. Oh, ever. So is those 5 guys. This must be filmed in Vancouver.
Yep.
It's like, you know?
Like that guy from Danger Bay.
I love that guy, the old man.
Yeah.
Who was in Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that guy.
I love that guy. That guy was the best. He was the best in Battlestar Galactica, right? Like his surly doctor was amazing. And like, I don't remember watching too much. I watched a lot of Danger Bay, but
I don't know,
Adam doesn't even know what it is.
I don't know what Danger Bay
sorry,
is.
Adam.
And I've never seen Battlestar Galactica.
Get out of here!
I only watch bad shows.
Danger Bay is a bad show.
Well, I guess it is now. It would be politically incorrect. It was basically about the Stanley Aquarium in...
Like Vancouver,
in Vancouver, and the guy was a veterinarian for these things, and or for like the whales and that kind of stuff. So basically, the whole premise of the show involved him like saving animals and doing dangerous things, like jumping out of helicopters and
doing dangerous things in the bay, Danger Bay.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I wish I wrote notes about the X-Men comics, because I literally forget everything now.
Oh, sorry.
But we're not talking about X-Men comics. We're talking about Canadian TV shows.
They're the worst.
So, no, they're the best.
Can we talk about Camp Caribou, at least?
Camp Caribou.
Do you remember the raccoons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
when they show. Didn't I see something saying they were going to reboot that?
I hope
the
not.
Raccoons. Ah, you know what? Some things are better left.
Like they're,
you know,
the purple
gone.
Naked bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, with the nose. Yeah, like what even the were they?
I don't think you're supposed to know.
No, they're Canadian.
They're Canadian raccoons. You got to watch out for them.
I don't think either of you make it out to Guardian Comics Saturday?
No, we did not.
I went out there and I ran to Marty, who has spent, I don't know, not a lot. I think he said like $60 maybe. And I spent 20 something.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, so I got some good comics and it was nice going there on a Saturday.
I kind of wanted to go, but it just wasn't in the cards for me to go. But yeah. It looked like a good sale. Did you buy all of those Ravage 2099s
no.
you had?
Oh, it was like 3 inches high of just Ravage 2099.
You should have asked for a bulk discount.
Yeah. They
were written by Stan Lee, right?
Were they, though?
Well,
is that like the century type
thing? As much as everything else was written by Stan Lee.
There's two different written by Stan Lees. There's like, I guess, three written. Like, he did write this, and there's...
Yeah. Well, yeah, we don't want to get into hacking poor Stan Lee, but...
Yeah, so it was the first time I saw other customers there while I'd been there.
Okay.
Because when you go, like, Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. usually, that's when they're available. There's really no other customers there for comics. It's just the workers, and you always feel like you're in their area almost.
Is that why they took a picture of like Marty and Chris digging through the bins, and they're like the you know there's one other guy in the picture?
Everyone get in. That I think that was a special day as well though. That they had
no idea.
Picture. Okay, yeah, yeah, it was nice. I talked to some of the other patrons there who were shopping. We laughed at some of the comics, like the stack of Ravage.
Yeah.
And then, there's... Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be next year's, like, $10 book, just so you know. You passed up on all of them. All of them!
Which is fine. I feel like a $10 comic is even a lot of money. Even though I know it is.
Well, as Marty would say, a $10 comic, by the time you put your time in advertising that, selling it, and then going to the post office and shipping it, and you've lost
$10. Oh, yeah. 100%. The time you put into trying to sell them and then you have packaging them and then paying for the shipping, it's ridiculous.
Like, that's why I'm always like, man, I got like 5 long boxes of comics I could sell and I would love to be rid of.
Yep.
But I'm too lazy because there's no point.
Just recycle them, take them to a library or a school and donate them.
Well, I need a small amount of money from them. Like, otherwise I can just keep them.
That's true.
But like,
yeah.
And they're not even bad. Maybe there's a Ravage 2099, maybe.
Is there in there?
The 1 through 10, because, you know, like...
Ooh. You have Ravage 1 through 10?
Possibly.
On purpose? Did you get it?
No.
Did you blind
No.
Should I... Would you like to hear a story?
Sure.
About comics? Yes.
A story full of lies, deceit, intrigue, fraud.
And Ravage 2099.
Yes.
Is that the complete run of the series?
I don't know. I don't care.
Okay.
So, here's the story. Shortly after, I got into comics again after not being into comics for a long time.
Yeah.
I was really, like, you know, into the Facebook auction scene.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a lot of comics from a guy that lives in Lindsay on a Facebook auction site.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah. Well, my first mistake. The first mistake is that after I won these comics, which I think I paid $25 for.
Okay.
And it was like 100 comics.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, cool. And there was like Fantastic Four number 87 was on the top of the pile. You know, it's not a key issue or anything, just an older issue. And I was trying to collect some older comics. And I was like, okay, that'd be cool. And for $25 for that and a whole bunch of other comics, cool. So as soon as I win these comics, I get a friend request from the guy who was selling them. Of course, his profile picture is him shirtless flexing.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So
what's his name, Kyle?
Possibly. I don't know for sure.
Just checking.
So he's like, let's meet up. I'm like, okay, cool. So like on a Saturday, I drove up to Lindsay and I was like, okay, cool. I got there and when I get there, the comics are in his shed, which is just like a literal shed. Like there's no
outside.
Outside, yes.
Oh no.
The comics are in his shed. He's smoking, you know.
Okay. Nice.
And so we get there, and I give him the money, and he goes, okay, so the comics are in the bin here, and he points to a Tupperware bin. And he goes, but you can't have that. Like, so you got something to put the comics in? And I was like, okay, yes, I have a bag in my car, like a plastic bag. I'll put them in a plastic bag. And he's starts trying to sell me other comics. And then he tells me that somebody messaged him wanting to get one of the comics out of the lot that I had won. But he's a good guy, and he would never do that. Like, what kind of scum would sell comics that was promised to somebody else?
Why would you bring that up?
Like, well, you would bring that up, Adam, because he did.
Fantastic Four was missing.
Fantastic Four 87 was missing when I got... I put my comics in my bag, and I was like, I'm just getting away from this guy. He's a weirdo. He's a jerk. He's shirtless. I don't want to be here. So I put the comics in the car. I drove a couple blocks and pulled into a parking lot and flipped through them. And every comic had a comic store stamp on the front cover. None of them were visible in the pictures.
Yeah.
And every single comic, and there was multiple copies. I have like five half sets of RoboCop.
Oh.
And I have a bunch of like $20.99 garbage comics. And so I'm going through, Sergeant Fury, like the 90s series.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And just, I think that one's just called Nick Fury, maybe.
Yeah.
And yeah, like just, and like rant, like seven copies of one issue, all with a stamp on the front.
Oh,
anything
perfect.
That was older, the corners were cut off the comics. Yeah.
Cut off the corners?
Yeah. Like, so like the corner, like probably some comic shop was selling it and they didn't want it. You know, like Dixon's used to write a D or something on it when they put it in the dollar bin. Well, probably from a dollar bin, they cut the corners off to make sure that nobody could resell it for any value.
Yeah.
And no Fantastic Four. Now, wait for it, because there is a twist here. There is a twist. A year later, I see an ad on Kijiji for a yard sale. Like, you know, Saturday in the summer, you're like, I'm going to go yard sailing.
I know the twist already.
And I see a yard sale in Bewdley that has comics listed. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's go. So I pack up the family. We go to Bewdley. We get there. The guy has five comics.
Five.
Only five, but one of them is Fantastic Four 87 with a stamp on the front cover.
Nice.
And I was like, how much for that? And he's like, $20. And I'm like, F you. And I just left.
How about boom?
Boom. Oh. How's that for a story?
Nice. That's rough.
Yeah.
I think the first time I met you, I bought comics from you.
That's true. Lobo Comics.
A bunch of Lobo Comics.
Where did I get those Lobo Comics from?
I'm not sure, but you were selling them on, I think, Kijiji. Was it Kijiji or was it the auction site?
Facebook.
Like, yeah, it might have been Facebook.
Maybe even just like the Facebook Peterborough group or something.
Yeah.
At Guardian, they actually had probably another 2-inch stack of the Lobo, where it looks like all the naked people laying down on the cover. I don't know what it's called. It's like
Adam Special.
That was like most of the Lobo covers from the 90s.
One that I'm like, I've seen this like on the Peterborough buy and sell group, and I'm like, for like $5. I'm like, there's 20 in this bin.
Yeah,
that's usually how it is.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but it's. It's not something you're going to pick up locally just hanging around here in Peterborough, to be fair. I mean, our comic shops don't have a lot of older back issues. I mean, they'll have some from like maybe a year or two, maybe three, but that's about all you're going to find unless you go to the one on Charlotte Street. He's got a bunch of older stuff in the basement down there. But.
Which I live right across from it.
Oh, do you?
I haven't been in there in quite some time.
Yeah. I went in there and bought up a bunch of his Darth Vader books because like missing a bunch of holes in my one run of Darth Vader. So I went in there and picked
them
up.
Yeah, I'm always excited when they get posted on his Facebook page.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, Gregory posted more comics. And I just looked and I'm like, I see some X-Men adventures based on the TV show. I'm like, oh, yeah. I think I need this one. I check. I'm like, no, I don't. I need like three issues. I'm just like, okay. I just need these three. I'm hoping that one day they show up.
Someday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I picked up some books.
What'd you pick up?
And it was the strangest book in the bottom of the pile. Wolverine Annual number one from this year. It's current print. He has his own annual this year without having a series. Ooh, that's a good look, Adam. You're like pondering that one. Yes. Wolverine has an annual without having a series.
That's fair. What issue number was it?
It's one.
What? No, yeah. That's the one shot. That's a one. Did it say one shot on it?
No, it's an annual. It says annual on the top. So how do you have an annual for a comic book series that doesn't exist?
If it was numbered, that'd be fair because then it would go in the annual, like,
yeah,
like database. Annual 24.
Yeah,
that'd yeah, be right. Annual. That would make sense. This does not make sense. I'm not gonna say no because it's Wolverine, obviously. Yeah. So I was like, but really?
That's silly.
Number one.
I disagree.
Without a run, exactly. It's a 64-page one shot.
Oh yeah, I mean, did you read it?
Not yet. Not yet.
Classic comics, not reading them.
Yeah. Oh, look, I already own all of these. There's not too many Wolverine books I'm missing.
The worst part though is when you get like, I feel bad about buying indie comics from like our friends and then not having a chance to read them.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like talking to them online and stuff, and then they're like, oh, well, let me know what you think about the books, and then 6 months have passed and they're still in the shipping package on your pile of books.
Oops.
I have, I think, a pile 10 inches high of just comics sitting there that I picked up from Guardian, CBA, Comic Alley, and then also Grey Guardian.
Yeah.
So I all these stores, I'm like, I'll get to them one day. First, I have to bag and board them with new bags.
Yeah, well, I have a short box of, like, reasonably current books to read. Like, that's my to-read pile. That's not like, hey, I picked up this book at Comic-Con to complete this run that I have read only the first 10 books because I was missing 11. But I hate doing that. I hate starting a series and be missing a book, like, I hate that. It drives me bananas. And then you got to go and buy that book. But, you know, the series still continues. But you missed 11. And then you're waiting to get it. And then, so now you've got like 25 books. And you've read up to 10.
Yeah. So
that makes the read pile really thick.
Or, but like, I had that happen because for a while I was having trouble getting down to the comic store on time. And had a lot of stuff going on in my life. And so after stuff got sorted out, I started to, like, I grabbed the various piles that I had been building up all over of comic books. And then I put them together. And I was like, I'm missing at least one issue out of every series I collect.
Yeah.
And so now I've got to try to track those down.
Yeah. And that's frustrating because typically the issues I find that I'm missing are the ones that all of a sudden went hot.
Oh.
And so, you know, you've got Venom number one, but no two. And you've got 3, 4, 5, 6, and you're missing 7. And then you've got 8, 9, 10. It's like, how does this happen? How did I miss, like, not having that issue?
Is it Venom 2, like the one that I had that I posted?
It's the new series. It's the only one I don't have from that run. And I'm like, I don't know.
So many. Yeah, I know at the one comic book store that I asked them, it's like, hey, can I get the Rocko Modern Life series? And they put on hold for me. I didn't know there was a new series called Rocko's Modern Afterlife.
Okay.
So when I was at Gotham Central, they had issue 2 there. I'm like, do you guys have issue 1? They're like, no. And I check everywhere. Nobody has it. Mm-hmm. You can get it online for $5 with $20 shipping.
Yeah.
And it's a 4-issue series, so it's me one day being like, oh, maybe I'll find it. Who knows?
Yeah, but probably. It'll be in a dollar bin somewhere.
I hope so. No one's reading kids' comics. But, like, kids, I guess? Like,
no,
that's
they do.
Absolutely not true. Well,
Segway. Dun, dun, dun.
I don't have any information, so let's pause the segue.
Okay.
Yeah, actually,
threw you guys for a loop there, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, just so you were, this talk of comic books that end up being the hot ones got me thinking, like, I wonder if the last issue of Walking Dead is still a hot comic, because it's reasonably been like 3 months.
Yeah.
You
how
know,
many,
and
how many printings has it had now?
It's only up to a second printing.
Oh.
But like, surprise. It's only a $10 book now.
Yeah.
Like, it was a $40, $50 book. Well, I guess this one sold for $40 plus $30 shipping less than a week ago, but I'm seeing listings for that have been for $10. So maybe it's just people don't know. People are putting it up at a lower price and they're getting snapped up because there's another one for $39. I mean, if that one, I feel like that's a book that may, you know, whatever value it settles to, it'll hold.
Yeah.
Because like, it's the final issue. Like, that's, there's the speculator, there's no speculation value to the final issue.
No, it's done.
You know, this is now a actual value from collecting and people wanting it for their collection type thing.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I collect G.I. Joe as well. So G.I. Joe 155, which was the last issue of the initial Marvel run, it's a $100 issue every day, all day. That's what it goes for. And I kick myself every day because when I was working at the comic shop, there was one on the shelf and I didn't buy it.
What was the price of it back then?
$1.25.
Oh, that sucks.
That's what all the comics were.
Was that a low print for that one?
Yeah, it was low print. The series was, it was going to be canceled.
Yeah.
So they had already started in the last, like, basically 10 issues from like 145. They started to reduce the print.
Yeah.
And, so pretty much from 145 to 155, they start at like $10 and then they just increase per issue. It gets pretty expensive to own them.
I feel like The Walking Dead, the last issue, would be the most printed of the series, probably.
But do you remember? Because when it came out, we were all like, there's no reason why comic book shops shouldn't have this, but none of them ordered any. Even though it was fully returnable, even though Diamond knew there was a secret coming and made this fully returnable, encouraged them to buy. Every store that I am following on Facebook was like, we don't have any extras, don't even ask.
Do you think Diamond should have said to people, you should really order extras just in case?
The solicit was like, this is a big step, a new beginning. This is something, like, it literally, I'm sure it said a new beginning in there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, technically that's not a lie.
Yeah.
But, and then fully returnable, make sure you don't run out. And nobody bought an extra one.
You,
like, not even a single.
Nothing to lose by buying extras as a retailer, because you can get your money back.
And think about, and like, you're guaranteed, if you bought 100 extras, that's, you know, it's $4. That's, I mean, it's not the most, but that's $400 you've made.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could do, sometimes this really made me mad, is that when the X-Men controversy last summer, when the artist, believe Adrian Seif or something to that effect, put some stuff in the backgrounds, CBA was selling that for $25 the week it came out. They saw that it was hot and they pulled it from their regular shelf and put it on their counter with an extra sticker. And I just feel like that's wrong.
Oh, 100%. That's not thinking about your customers whatsoever.
But like, you're a comic book shop selling a brand new comic that week or the week before, you shouldn't be marking it up because it's something people want to buy.
Yeah.
I would look at them and be like, what's the MSRP on this? And they'd be like, $4.99. I'm like, oh, cool. What's the watchdog number for consumers? I wouldn't actually do that, but that'd be my thought. Like, that's lame.
What they should have done was added 4 books that don't sell to the back of it and say, if you want this one, you gotta buy this
crap. You know what?
Here.
That
Ravage 1-10.
You, sir, are a genius.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Get rid of some of that stuff that's not selling.
It's $25, but you can only buy it in a pack with some leftover copies of other books.
And then let them try and sell it.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that's... you gotta try and move some of the stuff that's not moving, right?
Yeah.
The other hot comic book, because I don't know if you guys remember, but like the same week that Walking Dead came out, there was a Ninja Turtles hot comic.
Yes.
Ninja Turtles 95. And that one is still going for $25.
Really?
Bucks. Yeah. So I wonder if that's one that'll hold its value as well.
See, in my eyes, like an expensive comic is like 50 or more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for a comic that's 2 months old, 25 to 30 bucks is a decent value.
It's a good investment. Well, I don't want to call it an investment. It's a good gamble.
It's a good retirement.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Says everybody who bought, like,
let me get my
Superman 75.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can vividly remember that issue hanging on the wall at the comic shop for $200 in the black bag, unopened. $200. And, I mean, I picked mine up. I think it was $6 I paid for it, sealed in the bag, like, 5 years later.
My favorite thing with comics like that is if you go on YouTube and you type in, like, the news reports for it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're hilarious.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, if you want to get a good investment, say, buy this and you can sell it later. Like, they had no idea what they were talking about.
It's literally on, like, the Superman Doomsday DVD.
Is it on it?
They have a special feature talking about the hype. Mm-hmm. And it shows, like, some woman, like, in line with her copy going, like, this is going to put my kids through college. Yeah. And, like, how did people buy in? Like, why did these, I'm going to call them normal people. Yeah. Why did these normal people suddenly decide that they've got to run to the comic book store and pick up this thing that they know nothing about?
Because they put their faith in it?
Well, I was talking to Steve Dixon one day about it. We were just kind of shooting the breeze. And he's like, I don't know whether it was the media didn't have anything interesting to post about, but for them to have picked up on it and made it newsworthy, that's where the jump came in. Because then you had people who were not comic collectors. They had nothing to do with any comics at all. And they're lining up at comic shops to get this issue on the Wednesday morning. Like, it was phenomenal, where to the point where you have these people and they have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't follow the rest of the series. You know, there was no care about the first appearance of, you know, anybody. It was all just like, I got to have the issue where Superman dies. And it was just kind of like, I don't know, when they were first pitching, you know, like, it was in previews.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to the guy who owned the store and he's like, did you want it? Like, did you want the series? And I was like, no, they're not going to keep Superman dead. That's just stupid. And then, you know, it kind of blows up and, Ted had sold the guy the comic in the bag and then bought it back at, like, you know, a higher price to hang it on the wall to sell it for $200. And somebody bought it. So somebody actually bought that $6 issue for $200. And I think it floats around the $10 kind of range now within the black bag unopened.
It's always the thing I tell people for value. It's supply and demand. How much is out there? How many people want it? And then, I don't know, condition? That doesn't even matter, but
depends on what it is, I guess.
But yeah, well, like myself, I don't care the condition of a comic. As long as it can, like, I can get it and I can read it. If every comic I owned was a reader copy, I'd be fine with that. As long as it hasn't fallen out of the cover.
The thing is a Hulk 181 reader copy is still out of my reach.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I would take Key Comics and readers.
That's where you buy it.
For sure.
You buy the action figure that has that reprint comic in the back of it.
Well, and that's what makes the facsimile so nice, because it actually has all of the original ads. Like, it's actually like reading the new, like, the comic from then now. And it, you know, it's on the glossy, like, you know, matte paper, and it's nice. It's like the magazine paper. It's actually a nice book to read. And you know what? Like, I don't mind the old paper, but as a collector, when they switched, and I remember the switch going from, like, the newsprint to the glossy pages, I was like, this is awesome. Because the other pages, you know, like, you could leave, like, you know, grease prints on them. And it was when they switched to the other ones, if you left a grease print, you just wipe it off. Like, it was, I mean, it was kind of like,
it was revolutionary.
At the time, it really, when really was.
Because, like, the newsprint would leave your fingers feeling gross, right? Yeah, and, like, yeah, the ink would smell
funny. And
the best part.
And then it went to glossy, and you're like, I'm living the life.
Yeah.
I am living the life.
And the black would bleed through. Like, if there was a heavy black page, you'd flip it over and you couldn't see somebody's face on the other side.
Going from newsprint to glossy, you lose some of that charm. It's like watching an old movie on a VCR. Like, you're like, this is great, and you watch an HD, and it just doesn't, I don't want to say it looks fake, because obviously it is fake.
Yeah.
But it loses that.
No, it looks fake.
Like, we just watched, like, Jurassic Park or something, and it looks so bad. I'm like, they're just running in green, front of green screens. So I'm like, if this was just a little bit lower quality, it would actually look fine.
But,
Yeah. Dan shaking his head like, I want the low quality, Dan.
4K really wrecks, you know, some of the old stuff, right?
Not for animation, though. Animation is beautiful.
Animation, generally. Okay, two stories. First, animation. I bought the Scooby-Doo complete series on Blu-ray.
Did you remember you bought it?
I did remember. I watched some of it.
No, I mean, when...
Oh, because I had pre-ordered it on Amazon like 6 months ago. And then I remembered, Adam, because you texted me and you were like, hey, have you got your set yet? Other people are posting about theirs. And I was like, oh, yeah, I ordered that. So I remembered then... And then I saw the charge on my credit card and remembered. And it showed up. And animation looks so good.
Yeah.
So good on Blu-ray. High definition, you know? Looks so good. Scooby-Doo. The Scooby-Doo looks fantastic. But here's the flip side is I'm you know, everybody knows I'm a big Doctor Who fan. And when you watch... When I got a Blu-ray... Blu-ray ruined Doctor Who. When I got a Blu-ray player... Okay, not even like 10 years ago when I bought a Blu-ray player and I put my Doctor Who DVDs in it, instead of upscaling the way Blu-rays normally do, it does upscale, but they were shot badly on video. And so when you upscale video, not film, video, you know, it gets fuzzier.
And pixely.
And anytime a gun is fired, lines come across the screen because, like, you can actually see the sound waves.
Oh.
And, like, it's awful. It actually ruined Doctor Who for me.
That's a bad transfer, though, too, right?
I think it's the best possible transfer. Really? Yeah.
They didn't go frame by frame to clean that up and... Or they probably have the worst source material.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, depending on, like, are we talking, like, the first Doctor Who?
Any of them. Like, any from the 60s to the 80s.
Okay, well, I mean, a lot of that stuff was shot,
probably the 60s. Anyways. The 60s ones look best because they're in black and white. And so that, like, black and white looks great in high def, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just, because... It can get better, you know, definition without losing stuff because it's already in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching old black and white movies on Blu-ray. That is all.
There's really good Three Stooges Blu-ray that it looks great.
Okay.
It was the court one where he's like has the hat and he's pulling down the hat. Everyone's seen it because it's public domain.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really good. I brought a comic with me.
Oh, did you?
Did anybody else bring comics?
Well, I was going to, and I was like, I don't know. I was going to bring, actually, the Wolverine annual.
Oh, okay.
Show off the number one annual.
I put my headphones down to grab it, but so you guys go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
You should have wandered away while I was ranting about something else instead of wandering away now, specifically after making a point of changing the conversation.
Yeah.
What the heck is this?
That thing is like...
So Marty was always making fun of Dan for his omnibus.
Yep.
So I just decided
for my omnibus love.
Yeah, so
wow.
I have 5 of these at home.
Holy cow. How much does this weigh? I'm going to say this weighs 30 to 40 pounds.
So if anybody ever goes into chapters, you can see.
Oh, it's the Adamantium collection, too.
The Adamantium collection. So I have the X-Men, then I have the Wolverine one at home, and then I have the 75th anniversary of Marvel. I have the Stanley, the Jack Kirby ones. I think there's a Deadpool one. So yeah, like. I think there's DC versions of these as well.
Not this big.
Not that big? Yeah. So these are the biggest that I've ever seen comics.
Speaking of things being blown up to proportions that are ridiculous.
And so they blew up the pages.
Yeah,
too.
The pages are all blown
up.
Yeah,
nice. This was a great feature, which was the bonus code for your digital collection.
Oh, nice.
So all the comics that are in here, you also are on my Marvel app as well.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, because that was Marty being like, can you even read an omnibus on a table or your lap? And I'm like, I have one you can't really.
You can read it, but it's not It's not convenient.
Or practical.
It's not practical, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Is that an Alex Ross cover, too?
Yes, definitely an Alex Ross cover
it's
on there.
It's kind of hard to see from over here, but...
No, I'd pass it, but I don't have enough muscles.
Nobody wants a hernia. Holy crap.
Isn't that... it's way heavier than it looks. How many pages, Adam?
It's way heavier than it looks.
I honestly don't know. Sometimes there's posters in them as well, and there's... foil pages inside of it.
Yeah. I remember we were talking about the Blackest Night DC Omnibus, and that one was like 1,000 pages, and I saw it in chapters one time.
Pages.
Yeah, I saw it in chapters one time, and the spine was literally this thick.
Oh.
Yeah. And I took a picture, and I was going to send it to Marty, and then I was like, I can't even be bothered.
Wow. This thing is crazy.
Yeah, so, I saw the Deadpool one. I'm like, I don't care about Deadpool. And then, yeah, there's the Avengers one and the Captain America one. I'm not big fans of them. Yeah. But the X-Men ones, I think Danielle bought me this for Christmas, my birthday.
But, like, these pages are actually almost, like, art-size pages.
Yeah.
Like, this would have been the size that artist they actually drawn it on.
And, like, the colors really pop. Like, there was a lot of love put into this.
Yeah. No, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, the Jack Kirby one I grabbed from BMV on the third floor in Toronto.
Okay.
So, have you been there?
One time.
So you had to, like, haul that thing forever?
I had to walk downstairs. But, yeah, the Jack Kirby one was,
and then take the train home.
No, we drove. You drove, okay. Myself. Yeah. But they had it there for like $99. I'm like, why is this so cheap?
Because you have to carry it.
Yeah. And then downstairs they had the Deadpool one. And it's like, meh. But yeah, it's this is the big book.
That is a big book. As a Deadpool fan, I think I would like to get the Deadpool one, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you can find them on Amazon. The issue is that they don't have a name for these.
Okay.
So if you look up the Adamantium collection, you're gonna find the one X-Men, one Wolverine, one Deadpool.
Okay.
But then the Vibranium collections don't show up on that search because it's not the Treasury edition either. There's no standardized name for these ones. I can't
for things bigger than omnibuses.
Yeah.
Hold it up.
Okay.
Like a fisherman holding up a fish.
There we go. Gonna send that one to the Facebook page.
Look at it. So yeah,
it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, five of them. One of them...
Does it fit on your shelf?
Yeah, they're on the bottom of my shelf.
Then you've moved a shelf up a little spot so you can fit them all, probably.
Yeah. That's where all my oversized books are. And then it's like 7 shelves, so this was on the bottom so it wouldn't fall forward.
Yeah.
Because it's also, not anchored to the wall.
Also, so that your literal shelf doesn't bow in.
Break. Yeah, it's from IKEA as well, so I'd be suspicious of it.
Pro tip. Pro tip is like twice a year, take your books down, flip the shelf over, put them back on, and then you'll level it back out.
Upside down? Oh, yeah. Just the shelf
the
itself.
The actual shelf.
I've done that, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you should see the one for like my graphic novels. It's starting to bow pretty good. Except I can't flip it over, so I've got a...
Has the grooves in the bottom, I'm assuming?
I gotta put a wedge in.
Oh.
And,
that'd be fine.
Like a little leg so that it'll stand up without bending.
Yeah, you just lose one book space as well.
Yeah.
But then you notice, like, a book will fit in the middle, but it won't fit at the sides because there's...
Well, there's that big gap there now because it bows down pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the opposite, where, like, you have a big book. I have a couple omnibuses that will only fit... That will only fit on the sides because they've bowed in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a real hankering to buy an omnibus, let me tell you boys.
Oh, yeah?
Not any specific omnibus. I just love opening them up.
Get the 2 Fantastic Four ones by...
Does it have number 87 in it?
No.
That one's still a sore spot, I guess. Eh?
I'm trying to remember his name. God damn it. He did Future Foundations.
Jonathan Hickman?
Yes, the Hickman run. Get those 2 Omnibus. If you can find... Is it Omnibus or Omnibuy? Omnibuses?
It's called Broke.
Yeah.
Broke. My wallet said no.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hickman run's really good. I haven't read it. I just heard that it was.
You're trying to get me to buy 2 Omnibuses
yep.
that you don't even know are good
yeah.
because you haven't read them.
I was actually going to buy the X-Force Volume 1 Omnibus from Labyrinth in Toronto when it was there, and it was like $50, and I was like, nah. And I kind of wish I did. It's this big hardcover with cable in the front, like, ugh, all big and sulking.
Do you know what the first Omnibus I ever bought was?
Do we want to guess? It's going to be something bad. Is it something bad?
You'll laugh if I say yes.
Is it Blue Beetle? Is it DC or Marvel?
It's Marvel.
Marvel.
It's Marvel? I have no idea.
Namor?
No.
Black Panther?
Doctor Doom?
No.
Who is it?
X-Force.
Oh! X-Force.
Comes with the last few issues of New Mutants and then X-Force.
See, that's... Okay. Yeah, no, that's good. Lucky.
Lucky.
Did you get for $50?
Yeah, like, I think I got it for like $35 to $40 on Amazon.
Nice.
And also, like, I ordered it Thursday morning and it got to my house Friday. Because I ordered it, like, and I just paid for standard shipping, but, like, I ordered it right before, like, the order cut off or whatever. Oh, yeah. And so they just packed it and shipped it that day, and it got to my house the next day, and I was like, this is the greatest day of my life. So.
It's nice when that works out that way.
Yeah. They're like, you'll get it this day. I find I always order stuff, like, on Thursday or Friday, and I'm like, oh, the weekend.
Yeah.
But now
yeah.
there's Saturday and Sunday shipments, so it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Isn't anymore. Capitalism great?
I love giving corporations my money.
It's so easy. They make it so easy. Yeah. You don't even have to punch in a password anymore. Just, like, you know, put your thumbprint on your phone and bam, you can buy whatever you want.
Yeah, people are like, you're not supporting Canadian homegrown businesses. And I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
In other ways.
Yeah, well, you still have to buy stuff.
It's true.
Well, I mean, if they had them for $30, I would buy that too.
Yeah.
Here are the omnibuses in my Amazon cart. Not to buy,
not
but
even
like
your wish list, it's in your
Yeah, I just leave them on my cart because then
monster.
To see if they go up or down in price and
put
stuff.
Put on your wish list because it will tell you if...
someday he's gonna buy something and forget they're there and end up with
buses. Well, with the amount of money these are, I would never not know.
No, just accidentally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I've got like Legion of Superheroes, the Silver Age Omnibus number one in there. I've got the Green Lantern Silver Age Omnibus number one and two.
Okay.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe Omnibus.
Okay.
And that's one that I actually, like, I've got a lot of Green Lantern comics, so it probably doesn't make sense to buy another Omnibus, because I've got them in, like, the Chronicles collection or the Showcase. But yeah, the He-Man one, I don't have that in anything. I'm trying to see what all's in it here.
I could get behind the He-Man one, I think.
Masters of the Universe 1 to 19, He-Man the Eternity War 1 to 15, DC Universe versus Masters of the Universe 1 to 6.
Oh, yeah.
DC Comics Presents 47 and He-Man Thundercats 1 to 6.
Oh,
okay.
Is that a new series?
I don't know. Probably newish.
Yeah, they're newish except for the DC Comics Presents.
Is that IDW that does that one?
I don't know.
Was it Dynamite?
Who was that one? I can't remember.
It was He-Man and Thundercats?
Oh no, the Final Crisis Omnibus is no longer available.
No longer available.
So that's the one. Long. But it never went down below $100.
Oh.
That's the one that I want because I'm a nerd and I really like Final Crisis.
Okay. Is that the one he's holding Supergirl?
That's no. That's Infinite or Crisis on Infinite Earths.
They all use the same words.
This Final Crisis has Dark Side.
Okay.
It's DC. It's He-Man Thundercats.
Really?
Yeah. That's the cover for issue one. That series.
Weird.
I can't help myself. I love the old cartoons, right? I mean, I grew up with He-Man and the Thundercats. So when I saw that they were teaming up, I was like, I gotta have that.
My grandmother had the Thundercats playset for us kids. I don't know why she had it, but...
Yeah.
They probably bought it for us, and it's like, we'll just keep it at our place, and we'd always play with it.
Yeah. What kind of burns me, though, is like, so Thundercats, done by Star, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did all kinds of the Saturday morning cartoon stuff. It's freaking expensive. Like, you know, if you can get it at, like, from somebody who doesn't really know that stuff's expensive... You can get it for like a buck or two an issue, but like to go to a comic shop and buy them, they want like $5 to $10 an issue for them. Same with the Star He-Man and you know, like all that stuff. It's just like ridiculously expensive.
Was Star the Marvel imprint?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did like Elf and
Muppet Babies.
Yeah. Muppet Babies and
all the other comics Adam collects.
This is true. I have so many Star issues at home.
There's yeah.
Just all this other TV shows.
Yeah. I picked up, I forget where I got them. I think it was at Comic-Con, actually. I picked up Gargoyles.
Oh, okay.
And it was like everything except for like the last three issues.
And that would be Marvel, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was Marvel.
It was
yeah.
The Disney-Marvel team-up, even back then.
Yeah, yeah. And it was really annoying because I got this the five or whatever issues and the other ones were missing. So I actually picked it up for my son. So I was like, here you go, man. And so he read them. He's like, well, where's the rest? You know, and I was like, well, I'll see what I can do. Holy crap. They were like $20 an issue
yeah.
for them. And I was like, are you got to be kidding me? These are kids' books.
Yeah.
But it's not kids buying them, right? It's me. Like guys my age who are like, oh, Gargoyles.
It's the same like my kids. I bought them a Super Mario comic at Comic Alley Toys for like $4 one time.
Those things are expensive.
And yeah, so like we have this one and we've read it 20 times because, you know, if they enjoy Mario and they enjoy comics, so this is a nice marriage for them of two things they enjoy. And they're like, well, we want to read more. And I look it up and I'm like, they're like $20 each plus shipping on eBay. And I did get Chapters had like a collection because I guess Game Power, the old magazine, ran a comic page like per issue for a year.
Okay.
And so they collected those a couple years ago into a like graphic novel and I've read that like 15 times. So yeah. So yeah, I know what you're saying. These ridiculous comics, you know?
Yeah. They were just like a kid's comic, but they're fun. Like they're actually a fun read. They don't take themselves too seriously.
No.
And just like the cartoons. Right. And, but unless you want to have like a pile of cash to throw at them, man, it's, gets expensive to try and buy that old stuff.
Yeah, I'm still looking for some Battle Beast comics, some Bucky O'Hare.
Oh yeah,
like I have Bucky
O'Hare.
Captain
Bucky O'Hare.
I have issue 1, 2, 4, 5, and there's only 5 issues, so I'm missing issue 3 for that. And then there's one comic for Exo Squad, which I really want, but I can't find it.
Okay.
Which was just it's basically Exo Squad is like guys in robots that are like the crate thing from Alien 3.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, basically. It's like, that was really cool. Everybody gets one. Fight aliens, and that's...
Nice.
But they're like humanoid aliens.
Yep. And then it's impossible to find. And if you do find it, somebody wants $45 for it.
Yeah, and then there's... Yeah, in my CLZ wish list, that's it. There's a lot. Like Killer Instinct, I'm missing one issue. Michael Jackson's Moonwalker in 3D with 3D glasses.
Nice.
It goes for $20.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's a great movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. My wish list has 2,355 comics on it.
Mine only
That's
has
my
200.
Wish list.
Oh.
But a lot of it's like, you know, I've got most of a series, but you're missing like, you know, 10 or 15 books. And
I'm missing 2 Sliders comics.
Yeah, I tried to get those for you at the... Remember, there was somebody was selling a set at the Sudbury convention, but
yeah, it was either $10 or $20, and you're like, "Do you want?"
Yeah, and I think it was $10 because I think it was, and it was cheap enough that I was like, "Well, I mean, it might be worth just buying them."
And I was super grateful, but I had every single one but one issue. I'm like, I can't spend all that.
You just wanted to, yeah, and you want to find it in the dollar bin.
Oh, I would love that. That's the best feeling.
You know what I like? I just love going to Comic Cons and digging in the $2 bins or whatever. And I really have to be careful because, like, you can really, like, spend your whole
$2 plus
$2 budget.
Plus $2 adds up, yes.
Yeah, you know, you got a $300 budget, and it can go awful quick. You start pulling them out at $2 a book, and you're like,
I might like this. I might like this.
Well, and like I said, my want list is 2,000 books, right? Like, so that's what I need to fill the runs that I've got already. And every once in a while, you come across a nice little book. I managed to pick up Marvel Premiere number 15, the first appearance of Iron Fist. I got it at the Peterborough Con in the spring.
Okay.
It was like $20. It's a reader copy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's probably a 3, maybe a 4. It's pretty rough, but I don't know. The price was right.
Yeah.
It didn't cost me $300 to have it.
I got the first appearance of Black Cat for $2.
Nice.
But, I mean, it's missing part of the cover. Oh. It's got a tear in the cover.
Yeah.
But, like, $2. $2 is $2. It's a comic that would be expensive to afford otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fills a gap in a collection that I don't actually have. I have this thing about collecting Spider-Man keys, but not actually caring about Spider-Man. Like, he's just so iconic that I want to collect the...
Yeah.
And, like, I've tried to collect, like, the different first appearances of, like... So I've got, like, the first appearance of Miles Morales, the first Spider-Man noir.
Yeah.
You know... Silk and Spider-Gwen and all those.
I enjoy Spider-Man. I only have one series of trades, though, which is the Clone Saga, because I love it.
Yeah.
And everybody hates it.
I didn't... I mean, I guess for me it's a little different. I went through that section. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they did to Spider-Man when I was reading it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that I have a soft spot for, you know, the Clone Saga.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Ben Rowley Saga I could care less about, though.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of storylines, if you read it without, like, you know, the last issue makes people mad about a lot of storylines. Yeah. But if you read it with a clear head later, a lot of times it's a good story. Yeah. It's just you're not happy with what they did to the character at the end.
Just don't publish the last issue. Just don't.
That's what Captain Canucks get at.
Yeah, just... That way you can't get angry because it had a bad ending. You can only be upset that it's not here yet.
Yeah.
You can just think about how great it's going to be when it gets
I'm not talking about Chapter House, wink, wink. I'm talking about the original Captain Canuck run where issue number 15 was published like 20 years later.
Yeah, and they did like 20 copies or something.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
No, it's like $1,000. Like there's literally like... I think there's like, yeah, literally like 20 to 50.
Okay,
yeah.
Do they know what the run is?
Yeah, 20 to 50.
And how many... We need to find out who has all the issues.
Marty had one, but sold it.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's issue number 4. There's a very extremely limited version that's oversized like your comic there. Mm-hmm. And that's 300. But there's also 15 from a previous run. Mm-hmm. So that's the most rare... The most rare Captain Canuck comics.
Yeah.
Technically, however, like I have the Captain Canuck Reborn Ash Can, mm-hmm. and I wonder how many of those were printed.
I don't know.
Like, there might be less than 15 of those. I don't know.
Yeah. Or maybe left for sure. I mean,
yeah, because a lot of those just get chucked or whatever, because, you know.
I don't know.
Heathens.
I kept all my old ash cans. That was like a thing in the 90s. That was like, everybody had an ash can.
I have an X-Men Age of Apocalypse ash can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's sitting there.
Oh, I got all kinds. They came in the Wizard magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all kinds. Yes, I bought Wizard.
I bought Wizard.
Yeah. You couldn't collect comics in the 90s and not buy Wizard.
Okay, so I wasn't literally the only one buying Wizard stuff.
No,
okay.
Like, yeah. I wish I had mine still just for fun to read through and see how stupid
it is. We needed to know
but...
who they thought was going to be the X-Men in the live-action movie, and they got Professor X right every time because they always picked Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. Everybody else was completely wrong.
Oh, yeah. Hugh Grant as Wolverine was one of them. It's like, no.
Hugh Grant as Wolverine. Yes. No, I saw that. I saw a video about alternate castings that could have ruined movies, and it was Hugh Grant as Wolverine.
That would have done it.
Yeah. Speaking of doing things, it's time for this thing to end. That's all the time we've got for this episode. So as always, check us out on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, and some combination of the three of us will be in next week for your listening pleasure. Have a good night.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.